जया राधा माधवा कुंज बिहारी। जया गोपी जन बाला गिरिवराधारी। गोपी जन बाला गिरिवराधारी। यशोदा नंदन ब्रज जन रंजन। यशोदा नंदन ब्रज जन रंजन। जमुना तीरा बनचारी। जमुना तीरा बनचारी। जया राधा माधवा कुंज बिहारी। जया राधा माधवा कुंज बिहारी। जय ओम विष्णुपाद परमहंस परिव्राज कचार्य अष्टोत्तर शत शिष्य माधी सेवाइन ग्रेस एसी भक्ति वेदांत स्वामी शिल प्रभुपाद की। जय ओम विष्णुपाद परमहंस परिव्राज कचार्य अष्टोत्तर शत शिष्य माधि डिवाइन ग्रेस भक्ति सिद्धांत सरस्वती गोस्वामी महाराज श्री प्रभुपाद की। अनंत कोटि वैष्णव वृंद की। इस्कॉन फाउंडर आचार्य श्री प्रभुपाद की। नमः आचार्य श्री हरिदास ठाकुर की। सत गोस्वामी प्रभु की। ग्रंथराश्मम भागवतं की। इताई गौर प्रेमानंदी। O glories to the assembled devotees. O glories to the assembled devotees. O glories to the assembled devotees. O glories to Shishi Guru and Shri Gauranga. Somehow or other, do you remember the password for the temple Wi-Fi? Do you remember the password for the temple Wi-Fi? I lost somehow or other. I had it, but you know now it's not there. You know the password for that one? भगवते वासुदेवाय। ओम नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। ओम नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। We're reading from Shrimad Bhagavatam, Canto 7, Chapter 15, Text 12 and 13, entitled Instructions for Civilized Human Beings. Bidharma paradharmascha Abhasa upama chala Adharma shakha panchema Dharma gyo dharma batyajet Bidharma pada dharmascha Abhasa upama chala Adharma shakha panchema Dharma gyo dharma batyajet Bidharma paradharmascha Abhasa upama chala Adharma shakha panchema Dharma gyo dharma batyajet Please chant. Vidharma is religion. Paradharma, religious principles practiced by others. Cha, an, abhasaha, pretentious religious principles. Upama, principles that appear religious but are not. Chalaha, a cheating religion. Adharmasaka, which are different branches of irreligion. Pancha, five. Ima, these. Dharmagya, one who is aware of religious principles. Adharmabhat, accepting them as irreligious. Tyajet, should give up. Translation and purport by His Divine Grace A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai. There are five branches of irreligion, appropriately known as irreligion, vidharma, religious principles for which one is unfit, paradharma, pretentious religion, abhasa, analogical religion, upadharma, and cheating religion, Chala Dharma. One who is aware of religious, of real religious life, okay, one who is aware of real religious life must abandon these five as irreligious. Purport. Any religious principles opposed to the principles of surrender to the lotus feet of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Krishna, are to be considered religious principles of irregularity or cheating. And one who is actually interested in religion must give them up. One should simply follow the instructions of Krishna and surrender unto him. To do this, of course, one needs very good intelligence, which may be awakened after many, many births through good association with devotees and the practice of Krishna consciousness. Everything but the principle of religions recommended by Krishna, Sarva Dharmam Parityaja Mam Ekam Sharanam Braja, should be given up as a religion. Text number 13. Dharma Bhadho Bidharma Syat Paradharmo Nyakochita Upadharmas Tupankando Pakando Dambo Va Shabdabik Chalat. Translation: religious principles that obstruct one from following his own religion are called Vidharma. Religious principles introduced by others are called Paradharma. A new type of religion created by one who is falsely proud and who opposes the principles of the Vedas is called Upadharma. An interpretation by one's jugglery of words is called Chaladharma. Purport. To create a new type of dharma has become fashionable in this age. So-called swamis and yogis support that one may follow any type of religion system according to one's own choice, because all systems are ultimately the same. In Srimad Bhagavatam, however, such fashionable ideas are called Vidharma, because they go against one's own religious systems. The real religious system is described by the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Sarva Dharmam Parityaja Mam Ekam Sharanam Braja. The real religious system is that of surrender to the lotus feet of the Lord. In the sixth canto of the Srimad Bhagavatam, in connection with Ajamil's deliverance, Yamaraj says, Dharmanstu Shakshat Bhagavat Pranitam. Real religion is that which is given by the Supreme Personality of Godhead, just as real law is that which is given by the government. No one can manufacture actual law at home, nor can one manufacture actual religion. Elsewhere it is said, Sabai punsam paro dharmo yato bhaktir adokshaye. The real religious system is that which leads one to become a devotee of the Supreme Lord. Therefore, anything opposed to this religious system of progressive Krishna consciousness is called Vidharma, Paradharma, Upadharma, or Chaladharma. Misinterpretation of Bhagavad Gita is Chaladharma. When Krishna directly says something and some rascal interprets it to mean something different, this is Chaladharma, or religious system of cheating, or sabdabhid, a jugglery of words. One should be extremely careful to avoid these various type of cheating systems of religion. Om Ajnana Timirandasya Jananjana Shalakaya Chakshur Ummilitam Yena तस्माय श्री गुरुवे नमः। नमो विष्णुपदाय कृष्णप्रसाय भूतले श्रीमते भक्तिवेदान्त स्वामी नमस्ते सरस्वती देवे गौरवाणी प्रचरिणे निर्विशेष शून्यवादी पश्यति आदि सतरिणे वंशकल्पतरुभ्यश्च कृपसिन्धुभ्यैव च पतितानां पावनेभ्यो वैष्णवेभ्यो नमो नमः। I found these two verses extremely powerful and very very important. The main premise of the Srimad Bhagavatam is given in the beginning of the Bhagavatam. Well, I won't say, I backtrack. Not the main premise, but a very strong statement made at the very beginning of the Bhagavatam that established the purpose of the Bhagavatam. And when Srila Vyasadeva says that this Srimad Bhagavatam kicks out all systems of cheating religion, so automatically it makes a very powerful distinction. There is something real, there's something that is not real, that is cheating. And the statement is that the Bhagavatam kicks out all systems of irreligion, or cheating religion specifically. And more specifically, the definition of cheating religions is religions that are motivated by material desires. The term is Kaitava Dharma. Kaitava Dharma is used at that point. The verse Dharma Projito Kaitavatra that kicks out all these systems of religion that are based, that are materially motivated, and simply expound the real religion. And throughout the Bhagavatam, this is very much emphasized. And Prabhupada explains that this is basically the Srimad Bhagavatam is an expansion on this last instruction of Krishna. It basically allows to understand this very mysterious, in one sense, last instruction of Krishna in the Bhagavatam of Sarva Dharmam Parityaja Mam Ekam Sharanam Braja, that you abandon all types of religion. Abandon all types of religion and simply surrender unto me. So, that what does this mean? You know, Krishna telling us that we should abandon all these different dharmas that are just part of, you know, our functioning in society. You know, all these different duties that we have, that religious principles that are given just by being part of society. And Krishna is instructing you to abandon that and just surrender unto me. That without the Srimad Bhagavatam, it will be a very difficult thing to understand. You know, just that statement of Krishna itself. What is it? How do we do that? And what does it mean? And why Krishna is asking us to do that? You know, isn't follow religious principles supposed to be something that Krishna wants us to do? So he says, well, and if we surrender to him, then that means that we don't supposed to follow those things, or we follow those things in a different way. So it's not a simple thing. So now the Bhagavatam is there to take us, okay, now you surrender to Krishna, and this is how, this is what it means. What is real religious? What is the purpose of religious? And how all the things, all this, everything that we do is supposed to basically fit within this process of surrendering to Krishna. Of simply surrendering to Krishna. So, then, what is that that Krishna is asking us to abandon? And in this verse, Narada Muni is explaining also that if we know, if we become a dharma gyan means someone who knows the purpose of religion, then we should avoid this, this what is called irreligious. This is more specific. This more specifically, this Kaitava Dharma is divided into five. So we go more specific of what this cheating type of religious means. What are these things that we have to be very much aware and avoid? And these are the things that are kicked out from the Srimad Bhagavatam. And so there are five, and they're being described as vidharma, vidharma, paradharma, abhasa dharma, upa dharma, and chala dharma, the five. So vidharma is described as simply unauthorized, is some sort of religious practices that are not based on the teachings of the Vedas, that are unauthorized by the Vedas. Vidharma, this is just plainly irreligious. And then you have paradharma. Now, not to be confused with para means superior, and dharma means superior religion. So we hear, the definition in the Bhagavatam of real religion also as paradharma, sabai punsam paro dharmo, that the supreme or the superior religion is yato bhaktir adokshaye, devotion to Krishna. Not to be confused with this paradharma. Prabhupada describes as paradharma as when someone tells you that actually, why are you doing this inferior dharma? This is a better dharma. This is a superior dharma. So when someone is giving you a particular type of practice that you're unfit. Example, that if your nature, your natural propensity is
someone who works at wood, like a carpenter. And someone tells you, why you being a carpenter? You have to work so hard. Better, why don't you be a brahmana and do sacrifices? People will feed you. They don't have to work, They will give you donations. So you become a brahmana like that. So and say, oh, this is a good idea. I just have to, say something with a melodic. You can make it your own words. No one will know anymore. Most people don't know Sanskrit. So you can make your own language, you know. And swaha, then at the end, and then you can be fed, you know, get donations, and you don't have to work so hard. This is better. This is inferior. This is better. So that means paradharma. It's cheating. It's not real. It's something that you're not fit for. You're not qualified for. And if you take to that supposed paradharma or superior occupation that you're not fit for, it's cheating. And then you have a Abbas Dharma. Abbas, we hear that word Abbas before, Nama Abbas, right? Which is just a reflection. It's something that is pretentious, means that the word that Prabhupada used here is pretentious, a pretentious religion. So it pretends to be. It's a reflection. It's not the real thing. It's just a reflection. So it looks outside similar, but it have no substance. That's what a reflection is. No substance. No. There is just, you know, very external. And that's Abbas Dharma. And so appears to be the real thing, but it's not. No substance. There's no realization. And then there's Upadharma. Upa means, this word Upa is used, you know, to be sort of close. That, how you say that, you're close to the object, you know. So Upadharma means that, Prabhupada used the word analogical religion. So that, you know, the religion that is described in the scriptures, in the Vedas, so that Krishna described and is described in the Srimad Bhagavatam, is described like this. And there are certain things, well, by analogy, you know, this is something similar, but it's not exactly. That I would say, you know, when you do an analogy, is you reference to something to explain something else, but they're not the same thing. You know, you may say, oh, your skin is as soft as cotton. But it doesn't mean that your skin is cotton. You know, your skin, cotton is cotton. They're two different things. So it's not the real thing. And then we have just plain cheating. That once, you know, takes just very purposely, you know, unknowingly. Because cheating, this type of cheating is when you purposely, you know something and you sort of twist it in such a way that fits, you know, that you can trick people by jugglery of words. And Prabhupada specifically mentioned here of people who interpret the Bhagavad Gita. And he gave the example, in general, he gave a couple of examples. One of famous dear saying among politicians, who said that part of the Bhagavad Gita, he only accepted the Bhagavad Gita that presented non-violence. The part of the Bhagavad Gita that presented, that was encouraging war, that Krishna was encouraging Arjuna to fight, oh, that part is not so good. But this part is very good. So you interpret the Bhagavad Gita for a particular purpose that you have. Or there was a fellow, a famous so-called guru transcendentalist, who used to say, oh, what Krishna means when he say sarva dharma parityaja, he doesn't mean to surrender to him, the person. He means to surrender to the in-person within him. So although Krishna is saying, well, no, he didn't mean what he said. He means this. So, and then he creates a whole system of religion based on that. So that's not good. That's irreligious. That's cheating. So all of these things are considered irreligious. All of the things are considered cheating religions. Cheating religions. They cheat the individual, the persons who are searching for religion, they cheat them into something else. And then basically, the purpose of religions is not achieved. And so those who know, who are aware, the Dharma Gya, they understand what the purpose of religions is. We heard in previous classes, the purpose of religions is to surrender to Krishna, is to connect with Krishna. So, is to come to the position of pure devotional service. That's the purpose of religion. This type of pure devotion, non-motivated and uninterrupted, pure devotion to the Supreme Lord. And that's the state of a spiritual well-being, spiritual happiness. That's the purpose. That's the goal of religion. And that's what people come eventually when you come to religion, that's what it's supposed to be. And in the ideal society that we're talking here, the Vedic society, this was a system that was established. Everything was supposed to be supporting that. It was a system that automatically every person who is part of that social structure will be progressively coming to that point to become Krishna conscious. Everything was built like that. So all these different dharmas that are given within the social structure, they were meant to bring you to the position of sarvadharman parityaja. So there is no discrepancy, it's just part of a system. There's not that Krishna says, oh, all the stuff, even though is given in the Vedas, even though is dharma that I prescribe, you know, dharmas to, dharmas to Bhagavan Pranitam, that it is Krishna himself who gives the principles of religions, is dharma. And so even though I gave you all those principles of religions now abandoned, Krishna is not contradicting himself. The system is built like that. The system is built that all these principles of religion within this perfect social structure that also Krishna created, this Vanashram Dharma, Krishna mentions in the Bhagavad Gita, that he created the Vanashram Dharma. He created the social structure and he created this system of religion, dharma. And according, is very, very clever, because according to the nature that people has, the different natures, then there's a prescribed duty that he have to perform within the social structure. And each one of those duties for different type of people within the social structure leads everybody in a progressive way to become Krishna conscious, to the point of that you naturally and very organically come to the point of simply surrendering to Krishna. It will lead you to that. That's a system. That's a system of Vanashram Dharma that Krishna created. That's this perfect social system that Narada Muni is speaking during all this period of time to Maharaj Yudhisthira. And that is also confirmed, you know, in the Srimad Bhagavatam, in the whole description of Sutta Goswami given in this part of the Bhagavatam in which he explained this Sabai Punsam Parodharmo verse, that he says that every single occupation that is there is meant to bring attraction to the personality of Godhead. Dharma sanustita punsam vishwakshena katasujat not padajen jade ratin shama eva hi kevalam. That the proof that you are within the process of real religion, real dharma, you are within that real religion, is that you becoming more and more attracted and attached to the messages and to hearing and chanting about the Supreme Personality of Godhead. You become more attached to that. If that's not there, then whatever you're doing is a waste of time. Shama eva hi kevalam. So one can measure, or one can, the test of the pudding is, how you say, the test of the proof, whatever. The proof is in the result. The result, the result, you have to be able to measure your results to see if you act, you know, if you are doing the right thing. If you come to religion, the proof of religion, it doesn't matter what you do, but if you're becoming a devotee and you're advancing in being a devotee, then that's you're in the right path. Like that. But if we're becoming more attached, the more involved in your material, you know, attachments, then there's something that is not right. So this is something very, 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 very relevant and important. So one thing that we can understand is also Krishna explains that then the differentiation is made. There is two different types of religion. And he gives this in another part of the Bhagavatam, that one is para and one is apara. And these are based on nature itself. Krishna explains that there is two types of nature. There is apara in the Bhagavad Gita, 7th chapter. He explains there are two types of nature. There is para and apara. Para means superior, right? We hear that. Apara means inferior. So when he explains apara, nature, prakriti, he explains that it has to do with the material world. It's material energy. So then those famous verses that he explains, earth, water, you know, bumir, apo, that the five elements, you know, gross elements, and then the subtle elements, this is my apara prakriti, my inferior energy, material energy. And then he explains what is this para prakriti, this superior energy, which is spiritual. And so apara have to do with your material nature, the material nature, that which is part of this material world. And para prakriti, your para nature, your supreme nature, have to do with your real identity of the self. So when we come to this material world, we have, because we're in this body, and according to the body that we have a particular natural inclination, a particular nature. And then, so we have our aparadharma, and we have a paradharma. We have a dharma that has to do with our material nature. We have a dharma that has to do with our spiritual nature. And these two things are pretty much together, given, you know, as a combo to help us in this perfect society, to help us, you know, gradually and in a very natural manner, you know, come to the position of Krishna consciousness. So the spiritual master in general, or those sadhus, the advanced devotees, they help society in understanding their swadharma. Swadharma means what is the specific duties that you have, that we all have specifically, according to our material nature and spiritual nature. So we're giving instructions in that matter. The scriptures give us instructions on that matter, like that. So, and the dharmas that have to do with our material nature, they're guided by the superior nature. And when that's, you know, together like that, then it's a very progressive. It's progressive, and eventually you come to fully understand your spiritual nature. And then you can function on that exclusively. So, when this is like that, then your duties according to your material propensities, they're meant to bring you to your spiritual realization. But it has to be, again, very carefully guided. There is a very specific instructions of how to do it. There's instructions in the scripture, and there is those who are guides, the sadhus, the devotees, the advanced devotees, who will guide you step by step on how to be closely following these material duties in a way that you can be in the path of, you know, apavarga, this dharmas, what is the verse? Dharmasya apavargasya, that those occupational duties are meant for liberating you. Like that. It's as long as it's very closely guided. So these two things are there present. Now, we are conditioned by this material conception of life. So when we're conditioned, when the living entity is conditioned to this, to thinking, I'm this material body, the tendency is very, very strongly that we're going to try, you know, is constantly turning towards that material nature and have a complete block or being completely unconscious of our spiritual nature. So the natural tendency in a conditioned state is to go towards the material, to material energy. That's where the strong flowing is. So we have to be very, very vigilant. And it's not a simple thing. It's not a simple thing because the tendency will be towards that. So it's a very strong theme, like right now, that Narada Muni is at least warning us that we have to be very careful about this irreligious, these five branches of irreligious, because in the position, let me try to, go a little back to explain this idea that I think is the most important thing that I want to communicate in the class, is in our position, we're in a position of, we come into Krishna consciousness, we come into being in contact with this Paradharma, but Paradharma means, the real religion. Devotional service. And as beginning our path, to try to break, from this material condition, we are in the beginning stages of devotional service. There are three stages of devotional service. There is the beginning stages, the middle stages, and then the advanced stage. Kanishta, Madhyama, and Uttama. So, in the Kanishta state, which many of us, we're affected still by material conditioning. We're still dealing with that. And because we're still dealing with that, then there will be a push. It's almost like there's a toggle war. So there is the materialistic side, that's the spiritual side. So, and if we become really a little distracted, actually it just takes this little much of becoming a little complacent with your spiritual practices, with the sadhana, that in no time what is like, underwater. I don't know if any of you experience that. I constantly have to be watch about that. And like you get a little sick, then you cannot chant properly, then you are then everything becomes difficult. And so any little thing that you become complacent can, you can see the push that is there for the material energy to take over. And this material propensity takes us to this aparadharma. Aparadharma without paradharma means cheating. We make it can become, something that is not the real thing. It can become very much something that is not a real thing. So it's not just the people. The people, the ignorant people of devotion, that they have no understanding of what devotional service is, that are affected by cheating religions, or religions that are based on a material conception, because in reality, that's what cheating religions means, that they're religions that are based on bodily conceptions of life. So then we see, that all forms of religions that are practiced, mostly in the world are based on material conceptions of life, that are based, on a particular culture, on a particular group. And it's very exclusivist, that my group is the one that is the one who knows. The rest is doom. So like that, we're the chosen ones. And if you want to be part of our group, then you'll be fine, but you will not be. So these are all things that are materially infested. So it becomes, you know, cheating. It becomes something that is not the real thing. And therefore, the purpose is not achieved. And the purpose that is to be achieved is to become a pure devotee, to develop that unmotivated devotion to Krishna. The purpose is not achieved. And one's still absorbed in all kinds of material things. And so that's very obvious out there. But in the situation within the community of devotees that we come to be under the shelter of real religion, Paradharma, then because in the position that we are, oh, I would say general, but you know, that many of us are, that we're affected by our material condition still, then we're in danger to go, even as a group, into something that is not the real thing also. So that very easily can happen if we're not very careful in understanding and following the instructions that are given by Krishna and by Krishna's representative. So it is very important for each one of us to fully become conversant with the teachings of our founder Acharya, His Divine Grace Srila Prabhupada. That's why studying Prabhupada's books and trying to understand, you know, to understand, to be able to discern what is real and what is not real. Because a reflection can very easily cheat you. You know, something that appears to be like, if you don't know, if you don't have the substance yourself because of being inexperienced, you can be very easily cheated because it looks like. So, meaning that we have to become also, we have to come to understand, build substance. So, with in being a follower of, you know, those great personalities, the devotees, there's a responsibility that we have of becoming a leader, being able to mature as a follower means the responsibility of taking leadership. We're meant to be leaders. We're meant, each one of us is meant to be a leader, to show an example of the teachings. That's the responsibility that being educated has, and we have to assume it. So, and for that, we have to take up with integrity and with honesty the process of becoming Krishna conscious. So, in the position of being a neophyte, in which we're affected by this material nature, that can very easily create situations of you know, deviate from the real thing. We have to be pretty much determined and committed to the process of really understanding, studying, applying, and committed to overcome those things. We're meant to actually advance. from the position of being affected of with material conditioning to the position of being fixed in devotional service. So only in that position of being fixed, when we come to the stage of Madhyama, that you're now, your faith is fixed and is based, you know, okay, you may not be 100% pure, but now when you're fixed, it's more of a wholesome, you're more in the integrity of your practices are much more stronger. So that is something that is a must. And the Madhyama means someone who becomes now a leader, a preacher, someone who teaches, who helps others. And that's what we're meant to do. That's part of the purpose of coming to Krishna consciousness. So that's what will allow us to come to the position of being a dharma gyan, someone who understands the purpose or who acts in the purpose of religion. Anyway, I think there's many things to meditate on these two verses, and then we're gonna hear more about it, how Narada Muni is keep going deeper into these understandings. Because remember, if we backtrack, when he's explaining the ideal family life, the Liya Grihastha, the last part ended in Narada Muni explaining that the importance of understanding how to associate with devotees, how to recognize the devotees, how to be able to function within the society of devotees. And not only the devotees, but actually the whole people. How to be able to deal with everybody in terms of having the realization, the spiritual realization that, you know, we are spirit souls. And understanding Krishna is within the heart of all living entities, how to properly respect all living entities. So that is a position of someone who understands, you know, dharma, who understands, you know, a religion, who comes to the position of a spiritual understanding. And he's emphasizing this, that in a civilized society, in an ideal society, then all these practices are done with that full understanding that I'm a spirit soul and an eternal servant of Krishna, like that. So, and we have to be then careful not to be cheated or deviated from those things, from that position, by something that is not like that. One have to be very much aware of those things. So anyway, I stop here if there's any discussion, thoughts.
All right, Krishna Prabhu, thank you for your class. You were mentioning the point of proof is in the pudding. If we're, the more we're attached to Krishna consciousness, the more we have that desire to hear, that's the proof that we're advancing. One point from the Bhagavatam I appreciated, Prabhupada mentions in this verse, Savaipum Sampado Dharmo, Ahai Tuki Apritiyata, it should be unconditional. And so we could see that, this is one point, it's not really my question, but this one point I appreciated. That we see that it's easy to be attached when we're getting recognition. You know, so then we may mistake it as I'm attached to devotional service, but we're really attached to recognition. Because if we're not, or somebody's receiving more recognition than us, then we're unenthusiastic. And so we could see, so the Bhagavatam says we should be unconditional. And this is kind of related to my question of honor and dishonor or victory and defeat, we hear in the Bhagavad Gita that Krishna has control over that. And one particular religion that we all kind of hold dear to ourselves is our reputation. That could cause a lot of people anxiety if somebody's slandering me. I try to do my best, you know, to, you know, if somebody's talking about me, you know, I should get revenge or slander their reputation back. And we see in the Bhagavatam that Prahlad, despite Hiranyakashipu trying to kill Prahlad, he couldn't do it. Or in the Bible, there is one saint called Daniel who some king said, stop worshiping God, and he wouldn't, so they threw him in the lion's den, but then an angel protected him. And so we can see that in the material world, in the Gita or in the Bhagavatam, explained that it doesn't matter how much someone tries to slander your reputation. If Krishna wants to slander your reputation or your life, then, you know, there's nothing anybody could do about it. But if he does, you know, he's in control of that. So it doesn't matter how much somebody tries to kill you or kill your reputation. If Krishna hasn't ordained that, then it's not going to happen. So as devotees, practicing devotees, how important is it for us? Can you elaborate on this? Is that all devotees have disagreements, but the tendency is that we become degraded into the religion of getting revenge, slandering when there's a disagreement. We take it as disrespect. But should we basically let Krishna handle the tough love? We kind of use our revenge and our, you know, our petty, you know, bickering to, you know, we coat it with tough love for justice. In the end, Krishna, if he wants to take somebody away from Krishna consciousness, we don't have to do anything. He could, you know, inspire, you know, lust in their heart, take them away from Krishna consciousness. But the real religion, my understanding, is that we should pray for every devotee's well-being. It doesn't matter whether we disagree or whatever the argument is. My understanding is that's the unconditional religion, not that if I have a disagreement, then, you know, I hope you fall down, etc. So my question basically is that, you know, should we allow Krishna to handle the tough love and justice? Or, you know, we usually like to, you know, Krishna's taking too long to give that person their karma. Let me take it in my hands. The question wasn't really clear, but hopefully you could extract something from that.
Those things are, you know, we take the easy route of let things, you know, sort of take care of itself by time, you know, or Krishna will take care of those things, or eventually, you know, that type. I don't necessarily would take responsibility myself, but it's just the way it is. You know, and I just continue doing what I'm doing, my understanding of serving or devotional service, and then things will fix itself. But it's not like that necessarily. We're meant to actually do some work ourselves. It takes a personal responsibility that we have to actually overcome our condition. We have to do something. The example is given, Srila Ramanujacharya gave the example of the monkey, the surrendering, for the surrender and the dependence and the protection of Krishna that comes to us is with the example of the little monkey instead of the example of the little kitten. I explain myself that the mother monkey, the little monkey is fully dependent on the mother monkey to go from point A to point B. Like, we are in point A, we're materially conditioned, we want to come to point B, we're fully as Krishna conscious. So, to get from this point to this point, we're depending on Krishna. True. But we still have to do something. We have to hold to Krishna instructions. So the little monkey have to really, you know, hold to the mother in order to be taken from point A to point B. So there's two things. There's mercy and there's works. And we're supposed to work. We're supposed to work with integrity
in our evolution, integrity and honesty. These are two things that are the staple of a bhakta, integrity and honesty. So when I say integrity, is that we study the scriptures and we're able to say and present it in a certain way. But if we lack integrity, we may not follow fully what we preach. So then, you know, I have to be honest. Then I have to analyze, you know, I have to see myself and see, you know, I'm not, you know, although I'm saying I'm following Krishna, but Krishna gives these instructions, but I'm not able to follow these instructions. For example, you know, Krishna tells us that in order to receive transcendental knowledge, we have to find a spiritual master within, you know, the disciplic succession. So let me if we honest and we follow with integrity what we believe on, then yeah, let me do this. And if I'm not doing it, then let me understand from within myself why I'm not doing it. You know, what's the block that I have that doesn't allow me to do? And then maybe I can ask, you know, people that I feel confident about it, you know, I have this block, you know, what do you think? You know, I pray to Krishna, please let me overcome this. So that means, you know, someone who is honest and trying with integrity from the position that we are to grow to where we want to be. Depending on Krishna and the mercy of Krishna, but we have to work. We have to do something. So that means, you know, that's what I mean with integrity and honesty. And we have to be constantly watch about that, because then what happened is that, you know, we very easily affected by material condition, we can rationalize of. And the rationalizing means there's something external that is the cause. I don't want to dig too much inside. It's too much work. And it's disturbing too. You know, in general, you know, our mess inside could be very messy. And getting all messed up is very disturbing. So the easy solution is that, no. Is outside me, the problem. That's why I cannot do this or I cannot do that. And that shows, you know, when we speak that we're not fully following what we believe on. There's a say that I was reading the other day that, let me see if I can remember, that one should live according to one's we think, because if we don't do that, then we'll be thinking all the time of what we lived before, something like, let me see, what was the thing? Basically, in a nutshell, is that we have to follow, you know, what we believe, what we think, you know, is the right thing, or what we understand is the right thing. Because if we're not, we've been thinking all the time of simply the way we live, you know, that's what we absorb ourselves, not, you know, real, the principles that we're trying to live for, you know, something like that. So anyway, that's it. Let me see if someone else has some. Krishna Arjuna.
I noticed in the purport that mention was made by Srila Prabhupada that many yogis are introducing ideas of religion. So usually when you hear yogi, you think it falls more into the category that you were describing of the paradharma. It's more on the spiritual side, whereas and not so on the material side, the aparadharma, that you, the distinction you'd made. So would it be correct to say that some of these different ways of adharma that Narada Muni is describing, the cheating, the looking at things by analogy, you know, following principles that are completely contrary to religious process, would it be correct to say that all of that is actually can be happening more in the realm of the paradharma and not even on the aparadharma category? Is that correct?
Yeah, that's the reflection that was, you know, when I was reading about this verse and I started to think about it, is that within the realm of devotional service, if we are affected by some material condition, yeah, it can very easily turn into something that is not. And then we've seen it. We've seen it that happens sometimes in the community of devotees. You get into this thing of groupism, you know, and it's a description of Kanishtha Adhikari. The Kanishtha Adhikari doesn't have the description is that you don't know how to you differentiate. You just get into the external activities, but very much neglect the devotees. So there's not a full grasp on the essence, on the substance. It can be very easily very in just the external stuff. So, which is affected by some material, something material. So if it's like that, it can be very easily landed in something that is materially motivated. You know, my group is better than yours. Or, you know, if you want to be part of our exclusive, you know, it becomes exclusivist like that. So how you avoid that? Well, you have to be very, very vigilant. Again, is the integrity and the honesty part that we were talking about. That individually, we have to take the responsibility of becoming Krishna conscious, and meaning that we have to understand the teachings, so become conversant with the teachings, so we're able to differentiate, you know, what's real and what's not real. And we have to be very much attentive to the practices that are given to us, the spiritual, the purificatory practices, so we become, you know, free from those obstacles. So it can happen to a yogi, you know, if it's not under the umbrella of, again, a devotional service. Same, all these dharmas, they're supposed to be under the umbrella of devotional service, and they're progressive. But if you take that protection, then it goes the other way in no time.
like in really no time. That's what we experience as practicing devotees. You take yourself a little off, and then in no time, you're like, you know, underwater. So, like that. Any other comment or questions? Okay. Baladev.
How important is it not to become discouraged? Because when we hear the words like integrity or honesty, you know, a lot of people, they're not going to mention their anarchists. Who's going to mention that out in public, obviously, you know. But at the same time, we have to be honest with ourselves, even if we're not honest with others, like you were mentioning. And that's one point I appreciate it. But a lot of times when we hear integrity, we usually connect it with lust. But one point I appreciate it, there's a lecture by Radhanath Maharaj called Never Offend Devotees. It's a transcribed lecture. And he basically mentions that the greatest obstacle that devotees have is not lust or greed. It's actually offending devotees. And Bhaktivinoda Thakur mentions the same thing in Jiva Dharma in chapter 8. He mentions that even though a Vaishnava may get rid of lust, the desire for pride, honor, and distinction, which causes Vaishnava pride, is greater. And we can see that in the life of Hiranyakashipu. He was able to give up, Hiranyakashipu means one who loves money and women, but he was able to give up celibacy for what, like 10 million years, you know, just to become God. But one austerity he couldn't perform was respect Prahlad, and then he wanted to kill him, and that causes, you know, a fall down. So as practicing devotees, you know, we sometimes hear the word integrity. If I have a lot of anarthas, then I shouldn't speak anything about Krishna consciousness ever. We hear that, you know, in Bhagavatam, Krishna says, Shrimvatam Swakata Krishna Punya Shravanam Kirtana, Pridiyanta Stohiya Badani Vidinoti Suhit Satam. That, you know, you don't have control over your integrity. I control your lust, your anger, your greed. And the more you do Shravanam Kirtana, you get purified by doing Shravanam Kirtana, and you stay purified by doing Shravanam Kirtana. So, how important is it not for devotees to get discouraged from their anarthas? You know, especially in anartha of lust, but we don't really emphasize in our anartha of offending devotees, which is really the cause of the degradation and fall down to all the other anarthas. So how important is that to stay enthusiastic in Krishna consciousness? Not just that I don't have integrity or I'm lusty, so I shouldn't speak anything about Krishna consciousness. What about that?
Just in short, because, you know, we're way past time, actually. I didn't notice that was the time. But we work from where we are. You know, we still have to work. We can't avoid that. We still have to take responsibility for our personal, you know, growth. So we can just, you know, think, okay, Krishna, just do it. Just make me Krishna conscious, like that. No, we have to do something. We have to take that responsibility. And it's, you know, Krishna's big help is there. And that's it. But we work from where the position that we are. You know, we may be way down there, but we start from there. A person with integrity, it could be also a person who starts, you know, in a very difficult situation, and you start to dig yourself, you know, do your thing. And that's, you know, that's quite admirable and respectable. And meaning, you look internally from there. Anyway, we should stop, but we can continue sometime. Thank you. Srila Prabhupada ki jai.